All right, welcome to another Tac Talks. This is episode 13, and we are going to talk all about GI Bill and what GI Bill means and what it is and maybe some of the intricacies of the program. But lucky for me, I'm not going to explain it all. I have two superstars with us, Colonel Carlos Akindo, and I'm just going to call you Eric today.
Yes, sir.
Eric is really the expert. Carlos is the budding expert.
Yes, sir.
And then I'm lucky that you're two here with me today to talk this topic. But an important topic, especially right now as we support soldiers out in the field. Go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself, Carlos.
So good afternoon, sir, and teammates out there. Carlos Akindo, currently I'm serving as the division chief of Soldier Program Services. I'm looking forward to really this discussion today because it is important. The team is very passionate about what we're doing as far as taking care of the soldiers, especially with a benefit as strong as is for our service members, and also the fact that it does support the family too if the soldier decides to transfer it over to their family members. So I appreciate the opportunity today, sir. We have a group of, again, highly talented teammates that support this for the field.
Yeah. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon, teammates. My name is Eric Lowoff. I am currently serving as the GI Bill team lead in the Education Incentive Branch, which is part of the Soldiers Programs and Services Division under the TAGD. And I'm looking forward to our discussion here.
So, Eric, I know there's three pieces of the GI Bill. Can you explain the three elements of the GI Bill for the Army?
Yes, sir. The GI Bill consists of three separate programs, or is made up of three separate programs. The first one is the Montgomery GI Bill Selected Reserve Chapter 1606, which is available to reserve component soldiers. The second one is the Montgomery GI Bill Active Duty Chapter 30, which is available for active duty soldiers. And then the third one is the post 9/11 GI Bill, which is also available to active duty soldiers and reserve component soldiers, but only the post 9/11 GI Bill is authorized for transfer to eligible DEERS dependents.
Okay, understand. Three elements. Let me zero in on active duty soldiers first. So I come into the Army and I go to my reception battalion. I went to MEPS, I'm got reception, and I'm going through training. I know there's now a point where we have to make a decision, or a soldier has to make a decision on what element of the GI Bill they're going to utilize. Can you kind of talk through the eligibility and that decision that a soldier needs to make?
So
Carlos, jump in too,
and
pile on with Eric here.
Yes, sir. So the Montgomery GI Bill Active Duty is the one that really, when the law changed, is putting the onus on the soldier to make an election after 6 months whether they want to pay $100 a month for 12 months or $1,200 under that program. The soldier is automatically eligible for the post 9/11 GI Bill, which is free, but they have to make that election really at the 6 month mark to that 270 days, so 9 months later. But they do receive, as you brought up, sir, they do receive a briefing at reception battalion when they first join the military, and they kind of lay out the two options, especially on the active duty side, on the two programs that Eric brought up for the active duty component.
Okay, so a soldier's eligible though by way of just service, right?
Yes, sir.
They're eligible for one of those two.
Yes, sir.
Pieces. Now, there's eligibility that's tied to transfer of benefits to your dependents. Can you talk a little bit about that, Eric?
Yes, sir. So in order to participate in the transfer of education benefits program that is associated with the post 9/11 GI Bill, the soldier has to have 6 years of service in the Army. For reserve component soldiers, that means 50 points per year to count as a good year. For the active duty soldiers, it's a lot easier. So that's requirement number one. on the date of the request, the soldier has to have 4 years left on his contract in the Army. The reason for that is Public Law 110-252, which created both the post 9/11 GI Bill and a transfer program, requires a 4 year service obligation. Think of the program was created as a retention incentive to keep soldiers in the Army in order to transfer it. It's not a separation bonus or separation benefit or reward for service. So that's why the 4 year comes in. So like I said, on the day of the request, a soldier has to have 4 years. Once he meets that requirement, there's two more, which is easier for the active duty component because by that time they have their 90 days of active service under a belt. For reserve component, that can be a little bit more difficult, and they can't have any negative flags on their record on the date of their request.
Yeah, understand. So you got to serve a certain period of time,
that's
and then
right.
you after you execute or transfer that benefit, then you have to serve a certain period of time.
Yes, sir.
And that is all laid out on our website, HRC, as well as the VA website, right?
Yes, sir. Additionally, the soldiers can always go to the Army Regulation 621-202, which also has the program and the requirements for the transfer of education benefits listed.
And I know how everybody loves to read regulations.
Yes, sir.
I'm tongue in cheek here, right? Yes, I love to read regulations,
yes,
but that's why we also put it on the website.
Yes,
and, you know, obviously why we'll push it out on a tag sends. And then, you know, we're doing a little bit of media here, right? You know, a couple other podcasts to really highlight GI Bill benefits and the choices soldiers really have to make.
Yes, sir.
Which is all good. These are great benefits for our soldiers. So, where can a soldier, I guess, figure all this out? I mean, I know you guys have a webpage. Is that the best place they go to get information in general on the differences, et cetera?
The Department of Veterans Affairs has a very good website that explains the different components of the Montgomery GI Bill Active Duty and Chapter 30 and the post 9/11 GI Bill. And that's also one of our recommendations, that the soldiers visit those websites to figure out which one works best for their education needs, for the school that they want to attend to. And the website also has links that kind of explain the transfer the transfer process. But if soldiers are interested in transferring their post 9/11 GI Bill benefits, number one, the soldier has to meet certain requirements in order to participate in the program. And then the actual transfer is not done through the VA. It is done through the MilConnect website, which is run by DMDC for all of DoD.
Yeah, understand. And I think Carlos, right, we're going to end up doing a town hall on this and really explaining again, you know, probably with some slides and some other, basic steps for folks to understand, and then pushing information out via tag sends newsletters as well. This is pretty important. I mean, I think it's a pretty good benefit. It seems like a pretty good benefit. Obviously, there's some decisions a soldier has to make,
yes,
but I don't know. What do you think?
So, sir, I would say having been someone who's benefited from this opportunity, really, I know that Eric can expand on the transfer overall program and what are some of the requirements when you do transfer over to family members. But what I will say is that, you know, I was able to support my daughter going to 4 years of fully paid education, where she got the stipend for not only the books, but also was taken care of from a housing perspective, where she got VAH at that local rate. So she was able to, you know, live on the economy and make that decision whether she wanted to live both on campus or off campus based on her financial situation. We encourage folks to, you know, go back and check to make sure that their elections are there, to include making sure that they understand their obligation when that 4 years is up, so that way when they do depart the service, that they have met that minimum requirement of 4 years and that they don't put that transfer at jeopardy. if that's what they want to do when they depart the service.
I'd like to, if I may, expand on that. We recommend that the soldier goes to Mil Connect as soon as he meets the six-year requirement, and of course he has the four-year additional service time available. Reason being, if the soldier waits too long and, let's say, gets involved into the integrated disability evaluation system for an injury that he suffered, while he's in that process, he's not eligible to request TEP. And if he's found unfit for duty, he can't commit to those 4 years that are required by law, and there's no waiver for it. So that's why we're saying, as soon as you hit your 6 years in service and you have the 4 year available, transfer your benefits. That way, if you then later on get involved in it, in the IDIS process, and you can't finish your 4 years, we might be able to adjust your obligation end date so you can keep transfer benefits.
Yeah, thanks, Eric. Let me pull the string just a bit. The 6 years of qualifying service, is that particularly to transfer your 9/11 GI Bill to a family member?
Yes.
So that's particular to that, and then you have to serve 4 years. You have a 4 year ADSO to actual after you do that transition to your family.
Yes. So the 6 years is your ticket to get into the program, and the price is 4 years.
Yeah, understand. So when you come in as a brand new soldier, though, you have the opportunity to utilize the Montgomery GI Bill right away. Is that correct? I mean, you have to pay the $100 for that first 12 months for a total of $1,200.
While you can technically do that, it would be a poor use of that particular benefit. There's other programs available, like tuition assistance, that would benefit the soldier more to use those first and then keep the GI Bill benefits for use afterwards.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. And part of the reason I've asked you to do a town hall for folks is really walk through this. Hey, there's these two options if you're on active duty. But there's these other benefits too that come into play as you think through your options, TA being one of them, which is tuition assistance, right? And then the Army also does a credentialing, benefit as well that folks can use too, which is not a degree. It's not degree producing, but you can use it to actually get a certification.
Oh, absolutely. Each program has a website. There's a cool website. And then if the soldier's got any questions, they can always go to their local education center and inquire about the cool program, the traditional program.
Yeah. My assumption is the education system can help talk through all of these things as well.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Big plug for our education systems or that center at each of our post camps and station.
Yes, sir.
Carlos, anything else you want to add? I know we're coming up on time here, and I appreciate you guys talking the benefit here today.
Sir, I mean, at the end, I know that our teammates are, here at HRC, at Human Resource Command, eagerly, to provide any inquiries. I mean, we do help educate the field when it comes to the programs that we kind of help facilitate to make sure that everyone's eligible for, but more importantly, we have a highly dedicated, force that wants to help, and I mean, we really do go the extra mile to see where we can assist, especially when it comes to either questions about, hey, what does this transfer program look like, or hey, what am I really eligible for? We make sure that we take care of the individuals whenever they, really inquire with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Eric, any parting shots for our teammates out there?
I would recommend that if you have a transfer of benefits, an approved one, and you have a situation where you think you might not be able to finish your service obligation, to contact us for a review of your particular situation to see if we can help you. The HRC website has a number of documents available. So if the soldiers maneuver to the HRC homepage and then look up Education Incentive Branch, they'll come to our page. It also has our group email box, so the soldiers can email us with their questions And there's a lot of information available between the HRC website, the VA website, and the Education Center.
Yeah, no, I think that's, I was going to underline that at the end, right? You know, you have a couple of websites, the HRC website, the VA website, as well as your Education Center's on post. Great resources filled with great folks that support each of those platforms or locations. And then when we release this episode of Tag Talks, we'll put some of those links on there to get folks directly to those sites.
Okay.
But hey, I just appreciate you coming in and talking.
Yes, sir.
I know this is right because there's moving parts here, right? There's options. So I don't know. I know how that can be confusing for some out in the field as they think through these options. But really appreciate you guys being here today and talking a little bit about the GI Bill. And for folks listening, please stay tuned. We'll have future Tag Talks on a lot of the services that we provide and support we provide for people in the Army at a Tag D here at Human Resources Command. Follow us on all our social media sites at the Adjutant General and look forward to talking to you next time. Thanks.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you, sir.